Well, welcome everyone. I wanted to also just highlight, thank you, you who are our guests here today. Thank you for that. Do make sure if you can get our bulletins, they're on just a cardstock, and you'll have today's outline. We're about to begin our message here, and you'll see a QR code. If many of you, I just want to highlight too, you who are online, so helpful for me to make sure who's participating. Many of you send me emails, but you know how easy it is to gather information or get the information there. Just to take your smartphone sometimes and you just want to get in on that QR code, and then a little gray bar comes down and you go right to our landing page. And well, there you go. For whatever reason, didn't materialize, but I just want to highlight that. It's important for us to get a chance. Let's try it again. All right. Well, it worked the first time. Nothing like that. But that's how you do it, everybody, just in case you would like to. And do get a chance. Make sure you give us your information if you don't mind. You never know how time spent here today will journey together. And we want to make sure we get a nice coffee mug and some things in your direction. One thing I do want to value, and I don't really value infomercials, but you know if I'm going to share this, it's important. But we have through the Bible readers, we want to make sure you get one on your way out. And we are going to emphasize our theme this year. It's going to be about the kingdom, then you. And it is about you this year, but please get a Bible reader. And the ushers will hand those to you. If you just read three chapters a day, you're going to see it's split between Old Testament and New Testament. Sometimes we go a little bit dry if we're not reading a little bit of the New Testament or Psalms. But if you'll read three chapters a day before you do anything, I'm believing that God's going to do some tremendous ministry of breakthroughs and advancements in your life. Kingdom, then you is going to be all about you, but applying first the kingdom. So let's consider about reading your Bible through. And at the end of this year coming up, we're going to celebrate together. You never know, I might end up buying you a steak dinner because you honestly said you read through your Bible this year. Amen. All right. How many actually read through their Bible this year? Wow, that's impressive. No stakes for you, but there's always next year. But I want to thank you. Let's go ahead and let's take an opportunity right now. We are finishing today a series, our Christmas series, which is entitled Practice Christmas Like Jesus. That's the series. The series is about Jesus. He's the one that started Christmas. It's all about him anyway. What did he do during that first Christmas? And how we can practice Christmas, not just our own family traditions, but let's carry something on over with regards to how Jesus brought Christmas to us and practice Christmas like Jesus did on that first Christmas. That's very important to us. So before I announce what our sermon title is today, just want to throw out a cute one. Three pastors, you know I like pastors. You know, I just thought I'd throw that out there. We're having lunch right there. They were having lunch at a diner in the South. They were Southern pastors pastoring their church. And the one pastor said, you know, I'm really having, since summer hit, having a real hard time. We've got hundreds of bats in our attic of our church. I've done everything to get rid of them. Man, we've brought in noise machines. We brought in cats. We just can't seem to scare them away. And the other pastor said, you know, that's true. We've got hundreds of bats in our bell tower. We can't get rid of them. We tried fumigation. They're still there. The other pastor said, well, you know what? We got rid of our bats. And those bats, we did just this. We baptized each one of them. We made them members of the church, and they haven't returned since. Just want to throw that out there. Can't happen. Not here, praise the Lord. Way to go, way to go. Today's message is practice reconciling like Jesus. We want to take a look at reconciliation. Practice reconciling like Jesus. So Lord, open our hearts. Thank you for allowing your servant Paul to just represent your word properly, accurately, and may it be life-giving. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most important qualities for experiencing fulfilling relationships is forgiveness. And not just forgiveness only, it has to follow reconciliation. Every relationship that's going to be meaningful and helpful and enriching, and we all have relationships, and I say marriage because Ainsley and I have been married over 39 years. Matter of fact, today marks the halfway point, so we've been married 39 and 6 months. I'm about ready to kiss her again. Look how cute you look today. So when we deal with this element, it's amazing because there's a beauty when two people who are broken and imperfect, they got to rely upon forgiveness. And it's not just forgiveness. It has to move into reconciliation. So significant. It takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to properly reconcile. Both have to go at that. And I thank God Ainsley and I determined we were going to always reconcile in our differences. And those times, 39 years, that's a lot of work going on in there. And God's been so faithful. And we find that Jesus's mission on Christmas was all about bringing reconciliation to humanity. What is reconciliation? By definition, it's to restore friendship. To restore friendship. We could even say and harmony. I like that because my name's Harmon. Just throw a Y on there. You are there with me. How's that? Harmony. But to restore friendship, we've all issued forgiveness and felt something's not right in this relationship. Something's not right. It's like something's taking the oxygen out of our family gathering. What's going on? The harmony's not there. That's why we're looking at practicing reconciliation or reconciling like Jesus. We can forgive people, but this doesn't mean the relationship has been restored. That's why this message is so significant. To practice Christmas like Jesus with reconciliation long after even our Christmas gathering comes about. The Christmas story is really a story about just that, God wanting relationship, wanting friendship with all of us. We know He offers forgiveness, but are we enjoying that wonderful relationship, friendship, harmony with God? It's important that we have that. So with that, let's take a look. Our first point on your notes, the mission of Jesus was to reconcile. That was His mission. That's what He came for. The manger was the first stage. We know He's going to go to the cross, power of the resurrection. But let's take a look and deal with Matthew chapter 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And we'll put that up on the screen for you there as well. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, because we have here where Joseph is about to consider not marrying his engaged wife, Mary. And the angel says something about this baby. Take a look. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's take a look here. Jesus came to restore what was lost. He's going to save his people from their sins, but what was lost? A relationship with God. Hey, we've all offended God. We've all offended God, and that brought in a barrier that we couldn't get to God. Isn't that true? If you were to take a look and consider, there could have been, and probably has been, people who have offended you. We've all had those relationships where we have had people sin against us. They've wounded us. They've hurt our feelings. Doesn't something of a barrier go up in that relationship? That relationship, something has just stopped and put a pause on that. That closeness is now lost. What happened? And that's why not just forgiveness, but restoring and reconciliation is so significant. And that's what sin does. That's why Jesus came to restore this damage that sin brought in regards to relationships, especially with the Father. Man, we thank the Lord for His arrival and how He has taken our sins away in order for us not only to be forgiven, but reconciled to God. Let's take a look at number two. The mission to reconcile requires forgiveness. Now, we're talking about that. You say, well, that's a point you've made. But let's dive into that a little bit more, because in order for us to reconcile with anyone who wounded us, forgiveness has to be there, or reconciliation will never take place. Never take place. So when we take a look at that, it's interesting to note. I like Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You find it there. It says, and you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Man, I like that. There's something that feels so good. That's really how I knew that something about this Jesus thing was real. When I asked him to come into my life, I felt like that ton of bricks lifted off my chest. Like, what just happened? He literally removed sin from me. But forgiveness is the first step in the process of reconciliation. Remember, it only takes one person to forgive. I forgive you. But it takes two for reconciliation to take place. Jesus came, and he is that bridge to the other parties. I'm now the bridge. You're forgiven. Will you come on over, and let's meet together and be reconciled? So when we look here, when anyone is wounded and wounded us deeply, we have to forgive. It's one of those areas. It's an amazing thing that I have found. I like to say that forgiveness really is that area, that step that brings in, the only step that brings in a resurrection to relationships. It's relational resurrection. Whenever we forgive, please remember that. You say, I've got something going on with that person, that group, and I don't, it's like, man, it's hitting me in such a way. I'm telling you, God supernaturally can bring a resurrection to that relationship, and forgiveness is that way. It's the first step. It's so necessary for that to happen. Colossians chapter 2 describes that, how that we regained a relational life with God because he forgave us, because of Jesus. Let's take a look at point number 3. Forgiveness requires a sacrifice. Now that's important for us. If we're going to practice Christmas like Jesus, especially in reconciling, it's going to require sacrifice. All forgiveness requires a sacrifice. Can you imagine? And I have experienced the issue of, I know I need to forgive. What I'm going to give up, I even think it through. There's some things that when you forgive, there's a sacrifice, and that sacrifice might look like the right to be offended. I want to stay in my offense. I want to hold my bitterness. I've got a grudge going on, and I'm going to make sure they know it and stay angry. We will have to now give up that sacrifice, giving up resentment, giving up gossiping to others, giving up the list of describing the wrongs done. The authentic forgiveness will require some form of sacrifice. You and I know that, but sometimes we really don't think it through. If you've ever had to work through a deep forgiveness issue, you know what I'm talking about. Forgiveness will cost you. And there are things you have to let go of. Oh, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. A relational resurrection is about to take place. Incredible, but true. And God does that. Jesus came to provide a sacrifice that forgave us. Naturally, the dying of the cross. Oh, I'm so grateful. You and I talk about that, but we need to remind ourselves, again, the benefits. Oh, the benefits. I know it really ministers life to human nature. It's like, well, what about me? What's in it for me? Jesus says, it's all about you. All about you. Oh, man. Is God good? Check it out here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Let me read that to you as well. Colossians 1, 22. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Man, I have to read that sometime to remind myself, man, that's the Word of God. I stand before the Lord. I know I have not done anything to really benefit in that regard, holy and blameless. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing because to stand before Him without a single fault, I can easily just calculate a number of them. And if I don't do that to myself, man, there's works of darkness that will just come and tell you or me, maybe, how bad we have been and how challenging life can be, especially when works of darkness uses somebody maybe close to us to remind us, hey, you aren't all that perfect because I know this about you. And now there's another thing. It's like, oh, they're right. That's just the way darkness rolls. Yeah, he's called the accuser of the brethren and accuses us, Revelation 12 says, night and day. And it usually seems when I'm comfy and cozy in my bed that the accusations come. Don't let him. Faultless, faultless, not a single fault. Man, I need a verse like that. It is written, I am not at fault anymore. Thank you, Jesus. It's important for you and me. I like Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Check this one out too. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What's the it? Your sins, my sins. He nailed your sins on His body on the cross. So forgiveness is now provided and reconciliation with God is possible. Jesus made it possible. So let's look at number four. Reconciliation requires cooperation. This is something that we kind of forget because I want to enter into forgiveness, want to make things right, but the other party doesn't. What happens? It's terrible when that takes place. Forgiveness only requires one person. I'm in. I will do the Word of God. But reconciliation requires two people, and that's important for us to remember. There are some people you may have journeyed with. Maybe at times we could be that ourselves, where we issue forgiveness and the other party refuses to go down the path. Like Jesus, you're now all forgiven. Come, the way up is provided. You issue forgiveness, come. Let's make it right for the sake of the family. Then they don't want to go down that path you just provided. But it's important. Point number four, reconciliation requires cooperation. To refuse to move into that relationship. Exactly. How does that work? What? It's amazing because there are some people that just refuse God's invitation. Jesus laid it out for us. We just read it very clearly. It's important for us to remind ourselves, but there are some people that don't want to cooperate with God's desire for a relational reconciliation. There's a lot of reasons why people don't. We're human. We can maybe identify a number of them. I list a couple of them. Some people can't get past the guilt and shame. They just really feel like what they've done and who they are bigger than forgiveness. So I'm just not going to go down that path Jesus has. Sometimes people struggle that God would love them like this. I've just gone too far. I don't think God's going to really go after me. If He really wants me, I hope He sends somebody and really makes it relevant and real. There are some other people that feel like, well, they simply have just too much pride, and it's difficult to admit that we probably may need to be forgiven, that we've done anything wrong. I know some people like that. That's probably some of my more difficult reconciliations. These are all people that are related to me, huh? I was like, Lord, I know I'm adopted. This has got to be somebody else's family you brought me into. Some people are simply, they just don't know. No one's ever told them plainly like I'm telling you. No one's never been told Jesus is the pathway to have a great life with God Almighty. They know he exists. They're confident. They see signs and symbols and people having a good party with Jesus, but they haven't arrived yet. No one's ever told them how to simply go about it. Check it out with me. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." Wow. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. You're speaking on behalf of God. Probably that setup of them trashing your life may be a setup to demonstrate when you forgive them the mercy of God. Thank you, dear ones. I'm telling you. Thank you for being merciful to people. Sometimes people just don't know. And they really don't think you are the real deal until they experience forgiveness. Which leads us to number 5. Take a look. We have been commissioned with the mission to invite. Our series has been Practicing Christmas Like Jesus. And the topic today is Practice Reconciling Like This Christmas. And maybe you're in a good place and everybody around you is honky-dory and you have no issues. That old phrase, we have no enemies. But you know, somewhere along the line, life has issues and we're dealing with and living with people that are on their journey with God and being perfected. But the point here is that we've been commissioned. We all know people that are still not quite right with Jesus. Oh. And the Lord in his loving nature, his scripture says so clearly, the only reason why the rapture hasn't happened and the second coming hasn't materialized, you know that in Peter's epistle, he's not willing that anybody should perish. It's not God's heart. He's really all about saving and rescuing people. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 20, and I'll read through to chapter 6. You remember the original Bible did not have numbers. They didn't have chapter breaks and verses. It was a gift given centuries ago so that people could read the Bible and find their place when a reference is being made. So we could literally easily read this letter without chapter breaks, and that's what I'm about to do. Check it out, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. There we go. "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." You just never know when time for somebody to say, man, I'm ready to get right with God. I love this portion of Scripture, and in particular, one of my favorite Bible verses of all times is right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I like it in the New King James where it says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we in turn might become the righteousness of God in Christ." Wow. Literally, it's the exchange element. I gave, you gave, who believe, all our bad to Jesus. He made him to be sin for us, that in exchange, we might become the righteousness of God. I give him all the crud. He gives me all the good coming to Jesus. Whoa, that is not a fair exchange, but I'll take it. I will take it. Man, and when did my sin come on Jesus? It was on the cross. You know, it's always redemptive. It's always redemptive. It's always on Calvary's cross. You never just say, well, I wonder when that's going to be. It's always on Calvary's cross, and the resurrection says mission accomplished. Man, you remember that occasion when Jesus is hanging on the cross, and it's right there in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, one of those seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. And he calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember when he calls that out? That's an incredible declaration in two ways. My God, my God. Jesus never called his Father God. He always said, my Father says this, I say it. My Father does that, I do it. But in the darkness of Calvary's cross, when my sin blanketed him and your sin come upon him, and Isaiah says that God is of a holy nature and he can't even look upon sin, had to turn away from his son. And it's at that moment that Jesus, for the first time, the togetherness of the Trinity is severed. And Jesus feels what so many of us felt. Where's God? If he exists, why isn't he here? And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's when your sin came on him. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we, if you're ready for it, can receive all the good that's intended for Jesus. Man, what a gift exchange that is. So when we see here, we truly want to do Christmas like Jesus, we really need to experience what it is to be right with God, reconciled with the Father. And how? Well, Scripture says, well, that acceptable time, I love that, at just the right time, I heard you, God says, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, and Scripture goes on, verse 2, the time's now. The time's now. So it would be really not a good thing for me to not give that invitation. That invitation, Scripture says, is every day. Every day. You never know when a person just says, you know, I've done enough my own way. I'm ready to try it God's way. Hey, you can give God a try. You could always go back to what you were doing. Seriously, just you can go back to it. But give him a try. Give him a try. I want to welcome you to just bow your heads with me. We're going to welcome David on the keys. But Lord, we want to thank you right now for speaking your word to us. We want to thank you right now. Holy Spirit, just move. Thank you for our wonderful congregation that's behind the camera right now. Lord, you are moving right there in their setting. Thank you for eliminating distractions around the home, eliminating distractions around their laptops so that they could just right now know that they're praying for us, especially those who they're believing reconciliation, not just only forgiveness, but to be in right relationship with the Father happens right now. Lord, we thank you. Move on our hearts. Something's urging us. We believe it's God. Today's the day. Today's the day. So I'm going to invite you right now. There's a few I know are needing their life renewed with Jesus. And for the sake of you on our live stream, thank you. I would like all of us to pray this prayer so we don't single anybody out. It's important. We're going to ask God to forgive us, once again, to come into our lives, to set our lives up, to serve and to live for him. And this prayer is very simple, very short. I don't know what language God speaks in heaven. He could speak Spanish, maybe English, but I know he knows the language of the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's pray now. Dear Jesus, let's try that again. Good job. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. that you are the Son of God. And I acknowledge to you today, I have many sins. You know about them all. And I ask you today, forgive me, O Lord. Wash me clean. I want to follow you. I desire to live for you. I need your help. Come into my life now. I will live for you. Help me, dear Jesus, be the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. And I trust you, dear Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, my life is yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Right on, everybody. Right on. You know, on our Christmas Eve service, I had people raise their hands and six hands went up. And I want to just ask you, we really want to help you if you prayed that prayer and you know something started. And often it's just by faith. Some people really feel, like I did, an impact. Other times they just know something needs to change. But I know this, everybody needs to be discipled. We need other Christians in our lives that you know are committed in their walk with the Lord. And Hope Chapel is a great place for that. I want to welcome you to this church and want to invite you to be a part of that and reading your Bible through. Get a Bible reader. We have a Bible for you if you need that online. I'm grateful for this time just to explain and express that. What a great way to have a good year, including Jesus in that. So I want to thank you for that. And I want to just now pray and believe that I'm going to be hearing from you, or you're going to share with a family or a friend who brought you to Hope Chapel today that you prayed to receive Jesus. Let them know. They'll be so happy. Say, you know, when Pastor Paul led us in that prayer, I prayed that prayer. I meant it, but I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like. Will you help me live for God? We want to help you live for God. Well, before Sean leads us in a song, let me just pray a blessing over those who prayed that. It's so important. Heaven knows. God's word declares in Luke's gospel that when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. That's a lot more. That's a boatload of angels, more than those that whispered, glory, glory. The Messiah is born today. Something of a born-again element happened today. And I believe the word. So, Father, we thank you for the miracle that you know, and may we one day discover that lives have been transformed, hope restored, but especially a relationship with you, Lord. We love what you've done for us. We know you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for Paul Harmon, you'll do for others. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.